Right, let's begin. Who has been on holiday? Have you been on holiday before? Put your hand up, have you been on holiday? Have you bought sweets whilst on holiday? Have you bought a stick of rock whilst on holiday? Who's bought a stick of rock whilst on holiday? Yes, when I was 10, I went to Blackpool and we got Blackpool rock. And today I'm going to be speaking to you about sticks of rock. And so I actually have at the end of the meeting a few sticks of rock to hang out, to hand out to people who would like to fill in a little sheet. So just down at the front here, Rich and Nikki, if you are of primary school age or a bit younger and you want to come and fill out a sheet, get a stick of rock at the end, come forward now. Now is your chance. Don't all rush forward all at once. If you fill out the sheets, you might get a stick of rock. If you're a parent and you'd rather your child did not get a stick of rock, then I'll leave you to go through that conversation. But my question to you today is, if you were a stick of rock, what word would run through you? So like I said, I went on holiday to Blackpool. I got Blackpool rock. At each end of the rock, it said Blackpool. And if you snapped it open, you would see Blackpool in there. If you were a stick of rock, what word would run all the way through you? At the moment, on my social media feed, I'm being bombarded with seeing pictures of Joe Marler. Can we have Joe Marler up, please? Joe Marler was a rugby player. Looks a bit like this. Maybe you watch the Celebrity Traitors and you started to enjoy watching a bit of Joe Marler on your TV. And what I'm seeing on my social media advert is Joe Marler. He pops up and he says straight away, "Your hair is your identity." That's the thing which gets told to me, that hair is your identity. And so if Joe Marler was a stick of rock, you might see the word mohawk run straight through to him. And then, yes, I have carried on watching the video, and I have been, you know, it's probably the reason why it's, you know, keeps on popping up all the time. Basically, he was losing his hair, la-di-da-di-da, use some product, whatever. He got a mohawk. So maybe, according to Joe Marler, if I was a stick of rock, the word might be bald, which runs all the way through it. But for him, it's possibly mohawk. But what is the word which would run through the center of you if you were a stick of rock? It could be your job title. It could be that you're a, you know, a parent, a mum or a dad or a grandparent. You know, what basically is you? What runs through the center of you? It could be a personality trait. It could be, it can be anything, can't it? It could just be your name. You could say, what makes me, me is me. What runs through the center of my piece of rock is the name Will. Like if in a stick of rock from Blackpool, it's Blackpool. Maybe you're impacted by the environment you're in, and that shapes what word would run through you. In 2022, the word of the year was the word permacrisis. And the word permacrisis means a prolonged state of instability, insecurity, marked by a continuous series of overlapping crises, making it feel like a permanent condition. As you know, in our world, we have faced a lot of different things over the past 5 to 10 years or so. And this permacrisis came out as this idea there's permanently something going wrong. And so this idea of permanently feeling worried or anxious about something, it's not helped by the news and the media who continually tell you that the world is collapsing around you. But this idea that maybe the word which runs through you could be anxiety or worried or anxious or concerned or sad or depressed because of the situation that you find yourself in. Or it could be that you're feeling lonely and the word which runs through you would be lonely. I feel disconnected from people. Well, today, if you're here to try church, you're coming to find out a little bit about church. Well, the church, for one, is the people. This building is not the church. We, the members of our members of the church, we make up the church. The people are the church. And one aspect, just one possible phrase which could run through the center of church, if church was a stick of rock, would be good news or gospel. In the Bible, if you see the word good, the phrase good news or the word gospel, they're one of the two things. The church are people of good news. And today I'm going to be talking to you about the good news. and talking about how it impacts like our lives if we were a stick of rock and what that means for us. And the good news, which I'm telling you about today, is a message, it's a story, and it's a person. The good news is a message, a story, and a person. So firstly, message. The good news is a message. In the Bible, at the very beginning of one of the accounts of Jesus' life called Mark, we read Jesus saying, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus has just arrived on the scene and he's bringing a message, and it's a message of good news. Repent and believe the kingdom of God has come near. Believe, repent and believe the good news. Elsewhere in the Bible, we can read about how we should respond to this message. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel," the good news, "because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." This message, the good news message, is a message of power. It's a message that can change everything. It's a message that can bring salvation. It's a message that can bring freedom to all people who believe. Let me tell you a story about this lady called Leanne. I met this lady called Leanne last week. Who's in primary school? Anyone in primary school here? Yeah, okay. Imagine you're in primary school and you're in a maths lesson for a moment. This lady, Leanne, she was in primary school. She was in her maths lesson and she found maths hard. Understandably, maths is hard. And the teacher said, "Leanne, what's the answer to?" said the question. And Leanne just said, "I don't know." So what would you expect a teacher to do at that moment? You would expect a teacher to help Leanne learn and to get the answer right and teach her. No, the teacher didn't do that. The teacher said, "Leanne, come forward." So Leanne got up out of her chair, came forward, and the teacher moved a chair and sat her right in front of the class. And the teacher went, "Stupid, stupid, stupid," and then got the whole class to go, "Stupid, stupid, stupid." Leanne, at the age of 10, as you can imagine, she didn't just think she was stupid. She truly believed deep in her heart, deep in her soul, that she was stupid. If Leanne was a stick of rock, the word which would run through the center of her, it would have been stupid because of that horrible experience. So I don't know what word you would say runs through the center of your life if you were a stick of rock. You might have experienced maybe not something like that, but something as traumatic as that. It might not. I'm not talking about surface level things. I'm talking deep down. What word would make you you? Because for Leanne, at that moment in her life, she felt like she was stupid, and she felt like that for about 15 years, I think. It was ingrained into her. And then she heard the good news. The good news came. It says in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." The good news is a kind word, but it's also way more than that. It's a word of, good news is a word of power. Power to set people free. So you might say, "But Will, the word over my life, if I was a stick of rock, it's like it's etched in rock. How can that change?" The power of the good news, the power of the gospel, the power of the message which I am proclaiming to you today, the power of the message that Jesus brought when he came onto this earth is the power to set you free and to change whatever word would you say runs through the center of you. Over Christmas, I met up with some mates of mine. We went to the pub. There was just three of us. And these two guys are pouring out their hearts to me. They're pouring out their hearts and they're just going, "This is happening and this is happening and this is happening." And I'm just like, I've got nothing. It's like, I don't know what on earth I can say to these guys to help them. I ended up coming to a place of just saying, "All I can say to you is the good news that I have, and you can receive it too." Guys, this good news message, it cuts everything. When we've got nothing to give to people, we've got the good news. We've got the gospel. And we Christians, I'm talking to you for a moment here, we Christians, we carry the message of the good news. It runs through us. It's a message of kindness and it's a message of love. How can we not share the message of kindness and love with people? So if you are not a Christian here today, I'm going to be open and frank with you. I'm going to try and tell you and persuade you to believe the good news, because it's the message that cuts through everything. Okay, so that's the good news as a message. The good news as a story. The good news as a story. Okay, can I have the four symbols up, please? Might be the next one, Benjamin. You might recognize these symbols. This is the story of the good news. The good news has been described as being like a puddle that a toddler can like jump in and enjoy. It's quite simple to understand. But it can also be described as being this really deep pool that not even elephants can stand up in. The story of the gospel, the story of the good news, is both simple but also profound. So I'm going to share with you the simple good news story today. But it is also far beyond we can comprehend. The simple good news is these four points. For love heart, God loves me. And the cross, the second one, in. I have sinned. Then the other cross, Jesus died for me. And then the question mark, what will you do about it? That is the simple good news story. Let's look at the love heart. Let's look at what it says about God loves me. It says in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The good news, guys, is that God loves the world and God loves you. He loves you as a person. He loves you as individual. And more than that, it says earlier on in the Bible, in Jeremiah, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God knows you. He knew you before you were even formed. He loves you deeply and he cherishes you. And then in Psalm 139, elsewhere in the Bible, before you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God knows you, created you, loves you. You are made in the image of God. You carry dignity and you carry value. You as a person, I'm speaking to every individual here, whatever age you are, God loves you. No matter your past, no matter your future, no matter where you are right now, God loves you. He loves us. He loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why did God give his only son? Comes on to the next symbol. The cross. I have sinned. I have sinned. It says in the Bible, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is this word sin? It's not a common word, is it? It's not like we talk around about it, you know, all the time. You go and say, oh yeah, sin. Yeah, it doesn't come up in conversation, does it? It just comes up usually in a setting like this. The word sin, it's talking about when we have fallen short of God's standards. In archery, a sin is when an arrow falls short of the mark. There's a mark that we are to hit and to attain, but if the arrow falls short, it's called a sin. When we fall short of the standard that God sets for us, it's called sin. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've fallen short of that. I've fallen short of the standard God has set. And I can say quite confidently that you have too. It's things like lying, just sharing a little white lie. It's falling short of the glory of God. Not honoring your mum and dad. Falling short of the glory of God, I'm afraid, kids and adults. It's a variety of things, because what God is God is holy. We were just singing just now, weren't we? Mike and the band were leading us a song, singing, You Are Holy. That word holy, also a word we don't use in everyday life. That word holy means set apart from us. That word holy kind of means perfect. And that what we're saying about God is saying that God is perfect. He's set apart. And in order to have a relationship with God, we have to be like that. We've got to be holy. We've got to be perfect. We've got to reach that standard. And it's only in that place that we can have a relationship with God. But we've all sinned and fallen short. It goes later on in the book of Romans. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Don't worry, I'm going to carry on that verse later on. But that part of it, the wages of sin is death. The consequence of sin is eternal death. It's death. It means that we deserve to be separated from God forever. And I'm not going to shirk away from it. It means hell. That's the reality of it. Hell is a real place and not something to be joked about. And that is the reality for all who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, deserve the consequence, deserve the wage of death. It says elsewhere in the Bible, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Sin is linked to death. Sin is linked to hell. Okay, halfway through the 2 points of the good news. Are you feeling good or are you feeling bad? Probably feeling a little bit bad, because the next point is when it all turns around and it becomes good. Jesus died for me. The other cross, that cross there. Jesus died for me. See, the issue was that we deserved the punishment, the consequence of our sin. What we needed is we needed what was called the Lamb of God. We were singing, weren't we, just now, about the Lamb. I just want to say that's not just like some random lamb and a sheep. You're not going in the Peak District and it's just like bunch of sheep out there or the nice lamb. No, it's not that. It's all about the Lamb of God. And Jesus is described as the Lamb of God. Jesus is described as the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice who could atone, make right all of the bad stuff, the sin that we had done. It says in the Bible that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What happened was that when Jesus was dying on the cross, Jesus had no sin. He hadn't sinned. He had lived the perfect life. He had reached that standard. He had never fallen short of the mark. He was holy, perfect. And so he didn't deserve the consequence of death that we deserve. He didn't deserve that. But Jesus, he died upon the cross. And God, sometimes we talk about, Jesus carried all of our sin. It's way more than just carrying all of our sin. He actually became sin. Dan last week was preaching here. If you weren't here last week, Dan was preaching. And he described what Jesus became on the cross. Something like a perverted, murdering, I can't carry on the sentence. Listen back to that sermon. That's what Jesus became when he was on the cross. The perfect man, God himself, became sin. And he became your sin. He became my sin. He became the sin of the entire world and of the entire human history. Jesus carried that and he became it upon the cross. That's why he's the perfect Lamb of God. Because he was without blemish and yet he was killed. And this is when it links onto the rest of that verse in Romans chapter 6, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we put our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus and in him alone, then we will receive the purity that he had. So as Jesus was dying on the cross, he became our sin. If we put our faith in him, then we receive from him his purity and his righteousness, it's called. Basically, how he is being right with God. We become holy in the sight of God. And we receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. Because the good news, as well as that, is that Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he came back to life. Death could not hold him down. Death could not hold Jesus down. He came back to life and he defeated death, and we receive, for those of us who choose to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, and it's only in and through Jesus Christ and our Lord. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus, he died for us. It is a story, a wonderful story. And it leads to the final point, the question mark. What will you do about it? Are you going to accept or are you going to reject? It really is a simple question, actually. You either say yes to it or you say no to it. It's not like, if you're in that place and you're going, oh, I'm not quite sure. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Well, my gentle encouragement to you is this. You can't stay in that place. You need to make a decision. It's either yes or no. If you're in that place, come to Life Explored. You know, you're truly welcome, right, to come to Life Explored, investigate it, and then go, nah, it's not true. Don't think it is. If you want to, that's absolutely fine. It's not like we're coercing you to come and do this course so that we're like going, you got to say yes now. It's not like that at all. We want to share the kind, good news to you, and you have a choice. It's your choice. Are you going to accept it or are you going to reject it? If you accept it, this is what happens. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us all our sins and purify us. That's what happens if we accept. The way we accept is by declaring, Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how we can accept it. And then later on in Acts chapter 2, someone asks this guy, Peter, what must I do to be saved? And Peter responds with, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. Declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe it in your heart. So that's something which we have to do ourselves. But then there's an outworking of that. We have to go and do something about that. We have to do this weird thing of baptism, which is going into water and then going down into the water and coming back out. It's symbolizing the new life that we have in Jesus. It's saying no to the old self. I'm brand new. I'm a new creation and I'm living for God. That's what repentance is. Repenting, it's like you're turning, say you're living life in this way, you now turned your back on it and you're now living your life this way instead. That is what repentance is. So we are to declare with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and then repent and be baptized. If you want to accept it, they're the things you can do, and you're going to have an opportunity to accept it later on today. Later on, I'll be praying and you have an opportunity to pray with me to declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. And then we can talk about the continuing journey of that, of repenting and being baptized. See, that is the short story, the simple story. God loves me, I have sinned, Jesus died for me, and what will you do about it? But at the same time, as I said before, it's simple, but it's profound. I mean, it's baffling, isn't it? It's so far-reaching. It's mind-blowing. It's a majestic, all-encompassing, beautiful message of good news that is a mystery that we come every single week to marvel at. Guys, if you're trying church today and you're thinking, why have we just sung for like half an hour, 45 minutes? It's because we're marveling at this beautiful good news. You can't really get over it. Every day you remind yourself of the good news and it still changes your heart. So the good news is a story. And we, the church, we carry that story. It runs through us like a stick of rock. We carry the message of the story of the good news. And finally, it is a person. It's a person. The good news is found in a person that is called Jesus. Here's my stick of rock. We've got Jesus. Let me come down. You might not be able to see it. Hope, good news is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus runs through the center of the church. Jesus, if you were to cut a Christian open, you know what you would find? You would find Jesus running through the center of them. We just sang that song, "Yet not I, but Christ in me." We have Jesus running through the center of us. That is the truth. That is the reality. Okay, I was talking about a perma-crisis before, wasn't I? Have you noticed the things, when you watch TV and adverts and things of that nature? I was watching an advert. I'll say it, KFC. KFC, I watch this advert, it comes up, "Believe in chicken." And another one, "There is hope in baking." Now, don't get me wrong, right? I love a cake. I absolutely love a cake. Is there hope in baking, though? Is there hope in a nice chocolate cake? Do we believe in chicken? You see, the world around us is trying to compensate for the bad news we constantly find ourselves in, this perma-crisis we find ourselves in. We can't believe in chicken. We can't find hope in baking. We can't find hope in world peace. Hope in politics. Hope in jobs or in a salary. Hope in a particular relationship. The only place we can find hope is in the person that is Jesus. Kieran came and testified, didn't he, right now? He shared his story. "All these things happening around me, God is in control. I lift my eyes to the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where does my hope come from? The maker of the Lord." I was getting distracted then by my son who's going at me. But my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God is in control, and so we can have hope. It says in the Bible, Galatians 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." When you become a Christian, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the word that is written through you is changed, scribbled out. You receive Jesus at the center. And you might think, but all these other areas of my life. We were hearing from Phil on Friday night when he was launching the Life Explored course. And what he was, what he said was that there were so many things which are happening on the periphery of his life, but Jesus just came and changed the center of his heart, and slowly but surely the other things started to change. Today you might think, there's all these stuff which is happening in my life. How if Jesus comes in, then what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and what about this? No. Don't overcomplicate it. He comes to the center. And slowly but surely, with church family around you, we work out those things. We work them out together. Jesus comes and lives in the center of you. It says elsewhere in the Bible, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." We have Christ in us. He is the hope of glory. And that's the reason why we want to sing about him again. Yeah, that's the reason why we want to worship. Because Jesus is the hope of glory. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Does the band want to come back up? We'll come to an end in a moment. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in him, we can find hope. In him, he is the good news. He is the one who changes us. If you were a piece of rock, what word would run through the center of you? The reality of this is this. If you're not a Christian, the word which runs through the center of you is sin. You have sin inside you. You're infected by it, and Jesus today wants to come and heal you from it. this morning, my wonderful six-month-old left a beautiful thing in a nappy for me to sort out. I walked into his bedroom and it just hit me like a wall. It stunk. It really did stink. It was horrible, to be quite honest with you. But a joy at the same time, fatherhood. And I ended up just saying to him, I just said, "Oh, Jude, does Daddy need to change you? Does Daddy need to make you clean? Does Daddy need to wash you?" And I just felt it was a sense for people here today that actually you're coming here today, you're feeling dirty, you're feeling unclean. The Heavenly Father wants to come to you and with the love of Jesus, wash you clean and change you. Change the word that's written through your life. He wants to change it so that it's no longer lonely, or in Leanne's case, stupid. Change it so it's Jesus in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Like I said, if you want to respond to this good news, we're going to sing a song and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray and have an opportunity to respond to it if you want to become a Christian. But at the same time, the encouragement is this. If you're on the fence, come to Life Explored. Come to church next Sunday. Come to this meeting next week. Continue to try it out. And we'll work it out together and you can then make your own decision. Shall we stand? Let's sing.